الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. We continue reading from the great treatise of Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab Al-Tamimi رحمه الله تعالى كتاب التوحيد الذي هو حق الله على العبيد. The book of At-Tawheed, which is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the servants. We begin this morning reading from the chapter the author he mentioned, Bab Fadl At-Tawheed wa ma yukaffiru min al-dhunub, the chapter, the virtue of At-Tawheed and its expiation of the sins. The virtue of At-Tawheed and its expiation of the sins. باب فضل التوحيد وما يكفر من الذنوب. We see that the author here began رحمه الله تعالى with an introduction clarifying the status and the rank of Tawheed and the obligation of Tawheed, and that it is the wisdom behind the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the wisdom behind the creation of the jinn and mankind. And likewise, the author, he began Kitab al-Tawheed with the introduction clarifying that this Tawheed is the greatest commandment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded, and it is the greatest obligation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated, and that it is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala solely, and it is the greatest right from all of the rights. And likewise, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent all of His messengers to call to. So it's very beneficial and befitting after this introduction clarifying the obligation of Tawheed and the great status and rank and right of Tawheed, that he will follow it up now mentioning the virtue of Tawheed, because we know that this is the greatest obligation. And this is the purpose from creation, and this is the call of all of the messengers. So whenever an individual, he is aware of the virtue of a thing or of an issue, it will be easier for him to bear the burden, to obtain it, and to remain steadfast upon it. So it's very suitable now to follow up this introduction mentioning something from the virtues of At-Tawheed. Because whenever a person, he knows these virtues, he will be able to hold fast to that and to strive to obtain it and to perfect it and to remain steadfast upon it. So we see here the author, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, Babu Fadli At-Tawheed. Ayhadu Babu Fadli At-Tawheed. This is the chapter of Fadl At-Tawheed. The ulama, they mentioned the word Fadl, it means virtue. But they say that this is an issue where this is a word that is singular. And it's mudaf, al-mufrad. Al-mudaf, yufidu al-umum. So the meaning is not the virtue of Tawheed, but rather the virtues of Tawheed. Fadail al-Tawheed. This is the meaning from the chapter. So then the fact that al-Tawheed expiates the sins, this is from the virtues. From the virtues, from the many virtues of Tawheed, is that the Tawheed, it expiates the sins. Rather, nothing expiates and erases and removes the sins like Tawheed. Tawheed is the greatest hasana, and it is the greatest deed. And there is no deed without a Tawheed. And no statement is accepted, and likewise, no action is accepted except if it's based upon Tawheed. So we see that At-Tawheed wa kalimatul ikhlas aslul usul. الإيمان بالله سبحانه وتعالى وحده لا شريك له, that He is the only one worthy of worship and the only one that has the perfect names of the beautiful names of perfection, سبحانه وتعالى, and of divinity with no deficiency whatsoever, تبارك وتعالى, deserving to be worshipped alone, that the dominion and the kingdom is in His hands, سبحانه وتعالى, alone, and that He is the creator and He has created all things, and everything that He has created belongs to Him, and He has authority over it, سبحانه وتعالى, and He is the one who is worthy of worship. Now, this is the Tawheed that the author is clarifying, that the Allah Azza wa Jal, He is the one who is worthy of worship, and He is the only one that should be worshipped, and that is worshipped in truth and in right. Ifradullahi bil ibadah. Ifradullahi bil ibadah. The virtue of this Tawheed. We see that from the greatest virtues of Tawheed, the greatest virtues of Tawheed, أَنَّهُ يَمْنَعَ الْخُلُودُ فِي النَّارِ, that it prohibits abiding in the hellfire for eternity. This is a promise from Allah Azza wa Jalla that the one who lives and dies upon Tawheed, whether he has sins or not, he will never abide in the fire forever. He will be safe from an eternity in the fire. Even those people of Tawheed, they die upon sins and Allah wills to purify them in the fire, then they will come out of the fire. So from the greatest virtues of Tawheed is that it prohibits al-khulud fil-nar. Likewise, those who enter the fire from the people of al-Tawheed, they don't enter the same way the disbelievers enter. And they do not abide therein the same way the disbelievers abide. Naam, so this is from the greatest virtue of al-Tawheed. Likewise, whoever has the smallest mustard seed weight of Tawheed, he will not abide therein. It's been narrated in the hadith of Abi Sa'd al-Khudri, mentioning radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the hadith al-Shafa'ah that Allah azza wa jal, he will tell the angels to go into the fire to find someone who has adna, adna, adna mithqala dharratin min al-Iman, and min al-Tawheed, the smallest weight of Iman, and take him out of the fire. This is from the virtue of at-tawheed. This is from the virtue of at-tawheed. Likewise, from the virtue of at-tawheed, min fada'il at-tawheed, is that the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal cannot be obtained except with tawheed. That a person, he will never have the pleasure and the rida of Allah Azza wa Jal. The only way that Allah will be pleased with the servant and that Allah will be happy with his slave is if he comes to him with tawheed. That if he does his deeds and his actions, and he has tawheed in his heart. And the stronger that tawheed is in the heart of the servant, the more of that love and that pleasure he will have from his Lord. The more of that love and that pleasure he will have from his Lord. Likewise, from the virtues of at-tawheed, the great virtues of at-tawheed, that all of the actions and all of the statements, all of the ibadat and the ta'at and the qurabat that people were created for, they are not accepted except with tawheed. It's the basis and the foundation. It's the foundation of foundations. It's the foundation of the fundamentals. It's the greatest principle. It is the purpose of the creation of the heavens and the earth to single out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone with all acts of worship. Likewise, from the virtues of at-tawheed is that the reward is in accordance to the tawheed. The reward from Allah Azza wa Jal is in accordance to the tawheed, and it fluctuates. So whenever a person, he does his deed with the tawheed, at-tawheed al-khalis, then he has a great reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he has a great reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And according to his tawheed, it will be according to his reward. According to his iman and his strength and his faith, will be according to the virtue and the reward that he will receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whenever the tawheed is stronger in the heart and the iman is deeply rooted in the heart, then the reward of the action will be greater. Then the reward of the action will be greater. And this is from the virtues of at-tawheed. Likewise, the ulama, they mention from the virtues of at-tawheed, tasheeru fi'l al-khayrat, وَتَرْكِ الْمُنْكَرَاتِ, that it makes it easy, and it's a means to facilitate for the servant, for the abd, for the person, an individual, to do the good and to leave off the evil and the foul and wicked things. It makes it easier whenever a person, he has strong tawheed and strong faith, strong iman and strong reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, strong hope and strong fear in his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, strong raghbah and rahbah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the tawheed established in his heart. It's easier for this individual to wake up for fajr and come to the masjid. It's easier for this individual to wake up and to stand in the night prayer. It's easier for this individual to complete the obligatory actions and to increase in doing the non-obligatory actions because of the tawheed in his heart and because his hope for the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, whenever this tawheed is strong in the heart of the servant, it's easier for him to protect his eyes and his tongue. And it's easier for him to guard his ears and his hands and his body parts and to stay upon the straight path. It's more facilitated for this individual. Whenever the tawheed is in his heart, established firmly, deeply rooted in his heart, it's a belief and the way that he thinks and knows his Lord in this manner, singling him out in all actions of worship, then it's easier for him to leave off the sins. It's easier for him to leave off the sins. And this is from the great virtues of at-tawheed. Likewise, from the virtues of at-tawheed, the ulama, they mention that it makes the calamities that befall an individual lighter. تَخْفِيفُ الْمَصَائِبِ. That whenever the calamities befall on the people, the hardships and the difficulties in life, from the loss of wealth maybe, or the loss of life of a loved one, or a sickness and a disease and the likes, from the trials and the calamities of this life, the one who has the tawheed established firmly in his heart, it's likewise easier for him to deal with these calamities. And he deals with them in a manner which is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. And he doesn't say anything that would displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nor does he do anything that would displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But whenever the tawheed is weaker in the heart of the servant, maybe he will become frustrated, or maybe he will become angry, or maybe he will become upset and say something that is not permissible, or say something or do something that is not pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal at the time of calamity. At the time of calamity. But whenever the tawheed is strong, then this makes it easy for him. Whenever he remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he is the creator and the sustainer, and that the command is in his hand, and he himself is a creation, and he has to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he believes in the power of Allah azza wa jalla and his decree, then he will submit, and he will know that this is something that is from the decree of his Lord, and he will submit to it, and it will be easy for him. But the one who is weak in his iman and weak in his tawheed, then it is not so easy for him to deal with these calamities in life and to deal with the difficulties of life. You will find somebody who is strong, he has strong iman, and maybe he will have a great calamity, but you will find him that he is in a state of tranquility, and he is in a state of ease. Although maybe his heart may be hurting at that moment, or he finds some pain or a bit of grief, but in reality he is at ease, and he knows that this is a decree of his Lord, and what he has to do is be patient and hope for the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of this is from the virtues of at-tawheed. From the virtues of at-tawheed. Likewise, it makes it easy for that person, yani the mukhlis lillahi azza wa jal fi imanihi wa tawheedihi, it's light for him to do the good deeds. It's light, the deeds become pleasurable to him. In the beginning, maybe there's difficulty in performing some of the obligations, but after the iman becomes firm in the heart, he finds delight in them. He finds delight in giving his money to the poor. He finds delight in standing and sleeping little. He finds delight in finding hunger, pains, and being thirsty in the heat of the daytime. He finds delight in these actions that in the beginning, maybe they were difficult for him, but because of his tawheed and because of his iman, these things, they become easy for him, and they become facilitated for him, and rather he begins to enjoy them and taste the sweetness of that tawheed in his heart. And this is from the virtues of tawheed, and this is from the virtue of Allah Azza wa Jal, and we ask him from his fadl subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whenever a person, he is hoping for the reward, and he is relying on Allah Azza wa Jal with certain faith and certain belief, he is afraid of his punishment, and he remembers him tabaraka wa ta'ala, and he remembers standing before him, and that he will stand before him, and this is nothing he cannot escape. All of this is from the reality of at-tawheed, and all of this makes it easy for him to deal with this life. Makes it easy for him to deal with this life and to live in accordance to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To live in accordance with the legislation of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. To live in the limits of Allah azza wa jalla upon the straight path. Likewise, from the virtues of at-tawheed is that whenever it is complete in the heart of a person, whenever it becomes complete in the heart of a person, then Allah azza wa jalla, he will cause the actions of obedience to be beloved to him. And whenever the tawheed becomes complete, إِذَا كَمَلَ التَّوْحِيدُ فِي قَلْبِ الْعَبْدِ يُحَبِّبُ اللَّهُ وَإِلَيْهِ الطَّاعَاتِ وَالْإِيمَانِ وَيُزَيِّنُهُ فِي قَلْبِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever the tawheed becomes complete, and this is a good point to mention and that we must pay attention to, that the tawheed can be established but maybe it is not complete. And this is a firm belief with the people of the sunnah, that iman, it fluctuates. That iman, it fluctuates. It goes up and it goes down. It can be established that a person, he has tawheed. It can be established that a person, he has iman. Naam? But it's not complete. But it's not complete. So whenever the tawheed becomes complete, at this time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will make the deeds of righteousness and the deeds of piety. He will make iman in his heart beloved, and he will adorn his heart with iman, and he will cause him to love the actions of goodness, and he will love the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he will detest and he will hate disbelief, and he will hate corruption, and he will hate sin. And whenever he hears it or he sees it, he will say, "A'udhu billah that I would ever do that." Whenever he hears the people backbiting, "A'udhu billah that I would ever use my tongue for this." Whenever he sees the people looking at the internet in the wrong manner, looking at the foul images, "A'udhu billah," he would be disgusting in his heart. "A'udhu billah, ma'ad Allah." He will seek refuge with Allah that he would ever be tried with this. That he would ever be tried with this. This is whenever the tawheed becomes firm in the heart. Whenever the tawheed becomes firm in the heart. Whenever he hears about the people taking the right of Allah Azza wa Jal and giving it to the creation, he would be detested and he would be disgusted that they would ever call on a creation and make supplication to the creation. No matter how great the creation may be, it's not worthy of supplication. That they would ever worship someone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is whenever the iman and whenever the tawheed, it becomes complete, and Allah Azza wa Jal will make this person from the Rashideen, those people who are rightly guided in their belief and in their creed and in their action and in their speech. This is whenever the iman, it becomes complete. Likewise, from the greatest virtues of the tawheed, Al-Imam al-Sa'di, by the way, he mentioned many of these virtues in one of his explanations, Al-Qawl al-Sadid. And I summarize some of them here. He has this very, very beneficial benefit and virtue from the virtues of at-tawheed. He says, وَمِنْ أَعْظَمِ فَوَائِدِهَا تَحْرِيرُهُ وَالْعَبْدَ مِنْ رِقِّ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ وَتَعَلُّقِ بِهِمْ نَعَمْ وَخَوْفِهِمْ وَرَجَائِهِمْ وَالْعَمَلِ لِأَجْرِهِمْ وَهَذَا هُوَ الْعِزُّ الْحَقِيقِ وَالشَّرَفُ الْعَالِي. Allahu Akbar. He said, rahimahullah ta'ala, that from the greatest benefits of at-tawheed and from the greatest virtues of at-tawheed is that it frees the person. He'll free him. He'll be free from slavery to the creation and to the people. And he'll be free from being attached to the people. And that his heart will be attached to the people, that he would fear the people. He'll be afraid of the people or afraid of the creation. The one who is tawheed is complete, he's not afraid of the creation. Rather, he's afraid of the creator. He doesn't hope in the creation and for the things that are in the hands of the people, but rather he hopes for what is with the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he hopes for what is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is Malakut as-samawati wal-ard, the dominions of the heavens and the earth. Whenever the tawheed is complete, his heart is not attached to the people. Not by way of hope and not by way of fear. He's not afraid of them. He's not afraid to disobey them in the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's not afraid to tell them that they're wrong. He's not afraid to stand up for what is correct and what is the truth according to the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal. He's not afraid of their harm likewise, as long as he knows what he is doing is correct. This is the manner for the one who his tawheed is complete and his tawheed is strong. It's easy for him to stand in the face of falsehood, no matter who it comes from, or how high their status or their rank may be, or how strong or how much power they may have. This person, he's not afraid of the people. Rather, he's more afraid of his own sins than he will be afraid of the individuals. And this is from the great virtues of at-tawheed, that his heart is not afraid, that his heart is not attached to the people. He's not hoping for the reward, he's not hoping for the praise, he's not hoping for acceptance from the people, that he can have lots of friends or company and that they will accept him and say he's a good brother and the likes like this. Rather, he is hoping for acceptance from Allah Azza wa Jal. And if Allah gives a person acceptance, then he will cause the people to accept him. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves him, then he will cause the people to love him. But this life is a test and this life is a trial. And it's easy for those who Allah Azza wa Jal makes it easy for. Nasal Allah Azza wa Jal al-Taysir. So he says, likewise, that he will not do deeds for the people. He will only do deeds for Allah Azza wa Jal. This is from the great virtues of Tawheed, that he's not attached to the creation. His heart is not attached to the creation. He's not afraid of the creation. The ulama of the Salaf, they would mention that the one who fears Allah Azza wa Jal, then Allah will make the whole creation fear him. And whoever is afraid of other than Allah Azza wa Jal, then he will be afraid of the entire creation. He will be afraid of every situation and every individual and every person. But the reality is that no matter what a person is afraid of, no matter what a person he fears from, no matter how terrifying that event or that situation may be or that person may be, the one who has created it and decreed it is Allah Azza wa Jal. And the only one who can save a person from it is Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So whenever there is something that is frightful or scary, or there is something that is dangerous, we must remember that this is from the creation of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. This is Tawheed. This thing that we are afraid of, this is from the creation of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and He is the one who has decreed it, and He is the one who has decreed that I would be in this situation in this manner like this, and the only one that can save me from that thing that I'm afraid of is the one who created it and decreed it. Is the one who created it and decreed it. And this is the meaning of the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Flee to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Meaning flee to Him in all times of distress, in all times of fright, in every situation, flee to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And likewise, from the supplication of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam before sleeping, he would say, وَلَا مَلْجَى وَلَا مَنْجَى مِنْكَ إِلَّا إِلَيْكَ. There is no means of safety or security. There is no refuge from you except to you. And from you except to you. Because whatever a person he is seeking refuge from, it's from the decree of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And there's no means of safety or security from that thing except to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. وَنَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْكَ. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was supplicated in the Dua Al-Qunut. وَنَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْكَ. We seek refuge with you from you. We seek refuge with you from you. And from the decree of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. This is whenever the Tawheed is complete, a person he will understand this. A person he will understand this, and he will seek refuge with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and he will flee to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And this is the way of the Anbiya, and this is the way of the righteous and the pious. And we see that if a person were to look at the Ad'iya and Qurab, the supplications of distress, how they begin and they are supplications of a Tawheed. They were such supplications of a Tawheed. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he would say, in the time of distress, Allahumma rahmataka narju, fala takilni ila nafsi tarfata ayn, wa aslih li sha'ni kullahu la ilaha illa ant. And whenever Yunus was in the whale, and he would call on Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. La ilaha, Tawheed, he would hasten and he would flee to Allah Azza wa Jal with Tawheed, singling him out alone, knowing that at this time of distress, no matter how strong I may be or how strong someone in the creation may be, nobody can help me. And he knows this. He singles out Allah Azza wa Jal alone with hope and with trust and with reliance and seeking refuge and with his fear. And at this time, this is the actuality of a Tawheed. This is the reality, and he's free from the creation at this time. And his hope and his heart is entirely attached to Allah Azza wa Jal. This is from the virtues of a Tawheed, that he will reach this high status, and this is true honor. And this is true honor and might. A person wants to have honor and rank in this life, then let him worship Allah Azza wa Jal alone. And attach his heart entirely to Allah Azza wa Jal alone, and not have any reliance upon the creation, then at this time he will have true izz and nafs, and likewise he will have true honor and nobility, sharaf. Likewise, from the virtues of At-Tawheed is that it will cause a small deed to have such great, great reward. A small deed and a little effort from the servant, a little effort from an individual accompanied with sincerity and purity of intention at Tawheed, then it would magnify the reward and the value, the virtue of the reward. It would magnify the deed. It's been mentioned from some of the Salaf that according to the intention that the niyyah, rubba amalin تصغيره النية وربما عملا تعظمه النية أو تكبره النية. There could be some deed that a niyyah that because of the intention, أو ربما عملا كبيرا يصغره النية تصغره النية وربما عملا قليلا تكبره وتعظمه النية. Like this, maybe there is a small amount of deed, but because of the good intention, it will magnify it. And likewise, maybe somebody will do a great, great, great deed, big, big action, yani apparently, but because of his foul intention, it will cause the reward to be little or diminished or maybe even nothing. So the tawheed in the heart of a servant, if it's good, if it's pure, it will cause the deeds to be multiplied. It will cause the deeds to be multiplied. So these are some of the virtues of at-tawheed, and the virtues of at-tawheed are many. So the author, he mentioned that, and from them is that tawheed, it expiates the sins. That tawheed, likewise, it expiates the sins. بَابُ فَضْلِ التَّوْحِيدِ وَمَا يُكَفِّرُ مِنَ الذُّنُوبِ أي وَتَكْفِرُهُ مِنَ الذُّنُوبِ. The chapter of tawheed and it, and the fact that it expiates the sins. Nothing expiates the sins the way that tawheed does. Whenever a person, he comes to Allah Azza wa Jal, sincerely seeking repentance, glorifying Him and praising Him with his heart and singling Him out alone with hope and love and reliance, then and seeking forgiveness for his sins, then the sins, they will go away by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. By the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. A person, he can come with many sins, the worst of all sins, and then single out Allah Azza wa Jal alone and repent to Him with tawheed, and the sins, they will go away. The sins, they will go away as if they had never been there. As if they have never been there. As the ulama, they have mentioned, التَّائِبُ مِنَ الذَّنْبِ كَمَنْ لَا ذَنْبَ لَهُ. The one who repents sincerely with tawheed to Allah Azza wa Jal is like the one who has no, he has no sin. So the author, he mentioned, he says, وَقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى أَلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمِ. Those, he mentioned the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, those who believe and they did not mix their iman with oppression. لَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ أَيْ لَمْ يَخْلُطُوا أَوْ لَمْ يَخْلِطُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ. اللَّبْسُ وَالْخَلْطُ. الْخَلْطُ. We have لَبِسَ يَلْبَسُ. This means إِرْتَدَى. لَبِسَ يَلْبَسُ مِنْ بَابِ سَمِعَ. This means to wear clothing. But لَبَسَ يَلْبِسُ, this one means to mix. خَرَطَ يَخْلُطُ. To mix. So al-lubs is putting on clothing. Wal-labs is to mix something up. And they have to, whenever things become mixed up and unclear, that's called al-labs. That's from labasa yalbisu. Wala talbisu al-haqqa bil-baqil. Do not mix the truth with falsehood, Allah Azza wa Jal, He says. Naam, so there's a difference between labisa and labasa. And there's a difference between yalbasu and yalbisu. One haraka in the Arabic language changes the meaning greatly. يلبس المسلم ثوبا. Like this, a Muslim, he wears a thawb. يلبس المبتدع الحق بالباطل. يلبس, he mixes the truth with the falsehood. So يلبس means to mix here in this verse. الذين آمنوا ولم يلبسوا إيمانهم بظلم. Those who believe and they did not mix their iman. They did not mix their iman with zulm. With zulm. The ulama, they mention that a zulm, there's three types of zulm. Zulm al-abd nafsahu, wa zulm al-abd ghayrahu. Then there's the zulm, which is with regards to the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal. Fi haqqi Allahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of it is from the zulm of a person himself in reality. He's oppressing himself. A person, he would oppress himself yani by sins. Sinning by transgressing the limits and the boundaries, sinning with his eyes and his hands and his ears and the like, sinning with his heart. This is one type of zulm. This is called oppression. Another type of zulm is whenever a person, he will transgress the limits against somebody else, and he will take somebody else's right unlawfully, whether it's with physically, he will harm them, whether it's with their body or with their blood or with their honor or with their wealth, he will violate their rights. This is called zulm. And likewise, there is a type of zulm whenever a servant, he would take the right of Allah Azza wa Jal. He would take the right of Allah Azza wa Jal, meaning worshipping somebody besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Worshipping somebody besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are all considered zulm. The major dhulm is the last one, that's shirk, al-shirk, al-dhulm al-azim, the major and the great oppression. This is the oppression of al-shirk. Naam. So then we see that the word dhulm is used to have these three meanings. Sometimes in the Quran, the word dhulm is mentioned in its different conjugations, and it means shirk. Other times, the word dhulm is mentioned, and what is intended by it is oppressing the servants, one against the other, taking the rights of one another, one taking the right of another, whatever the case may be, whether it's in his wealth or in his honor or in his blood. Naam. And the other, sometimes the word dhulm is used in the text, and what is intended by that is the servant oppressing his own soul, oppressing his by sinning, yani sinning, but not his sin is not transgressing the limits of his own soul, rather he's sinning himself. All of them would return back to the first one. Anyway, if he oppresses somebody else, he's oppressing his own soul. If he takes the right of Allah Azza wa Jalla, he makes sure he's oppressing his own soul. But there is a type of dhulm that is restricted to the individual, and there's a type of dhulm whenever he harms another person and takes their right, and then there's the dhulm, the greatest of all oppression, that is to associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship. So what is the intent from the dhulm in this verse? Ash-shirk. Ash-shirk. The intent of dhulm in this verse is ash-shirk. It has come. And the authentic narrations, which is muttafaqun alayhi, from the hadith of Abdullah bin Mas'ud, that this verse was revealed. Whenever this verse was revealed, that it was difficult for the companions. They heard this verse, and what they had, what had come to their mind is oppressing their own selves with sins. Those who believe, and but did not mix their iman or their faith with oppression, then these are the ones who have safety, and these are the ones who are guided. So they immediately thought about oppressing themselves. So they said, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which one of us does not oppress his own soul? Which one of us does not oppress his own soul? Whenever this was revealed, and ishaqa dhalika ala as-sahaba, and they said, radiallahu anhu, ayyuna la yadhlimu nafsahu, which one of us doesn't oppress his own soul? And which one of us does not sin or transgress or fall short? Meaning all of us. And if this is the case for the sahaba, then even greater the case for those who come after them, that they have sins and they oppress their own souls. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, alam tasma'u ila qawli al-abd as-salih, inna shirka la dhulmun azim. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did you not hear the statement of that righteous servant? And he meaning the statement of Luqman, whenever he said, verily ash-shirk is the great oppression. Verily ash-shirk is the great oppression. And he clarified that the meaning of dhulm in this verse is the dhulm of ash-shirk. Is the dhulm of ash-shirk. Naam. So the author, he mentioned the verse, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَمْنُ وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. Those who believe and they did not mix their iman with oppression, these are the ones that have safety, and they are the ones who are guided. And they are the ones who are guided. So we see that the understanding of this verse is that whoever believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he did not mix his iman with ظلم, with oppression, and the intent of oppression in this verse is ash-shirk, then what does he have? He has two things. Ulaika lahum al-amnu wa hum muhtadun. Lahum al-amn wa al-ihtida. They have al-amn, which is safety and security, and they have guidance. But the reality of this verse, a person has to understand that this will be understood in the light of the rest of the texts. And this is the means of reaching the pure truth, yani al-haq al-mahd. In order to understand the true religion and the true deen and the correct path and the right understanding with regards to the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal in one particular issue, all of the texts must be applied. A person, he wouldn't look at one verse or one hadith and then understand the whole issue based on that one text. Rather, a person, he will look at one at the text and he will have it related to a particular issue, and then all of the texts in the authentic narrations and in the ayat of Allah Azza wa Jalla with regards to that issue must be given consideration, and then the proper understanding can be reached. And then the proper understanding could be reached. For example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لا يدخل الجنة قتات, a namam, that a namam, a slanderer, or the one who's carrying tales, he will not enter the paradise. So if we understood this narration, just based upon that narration, then we would say that the person who is carrying tales, and if he died upon that, he will not enter paradise, even if he was a Muslim. But this narration is not understood in the light of the narration only, but rather in the light of all of the rest of the text, like this text here. Whoever did not mix his iman with shirk, then he will have aman, and he will have guidance, and he will have guidance, he will have safety, and he will have guidance. So the issue here is that we look at all of the texts, and because of in this methodology, Ahl Sunnah qad fazu bil haqq al mahdh, alhamdulillah. The people of the Sunnah, they have obtained the pure truth by this methodology. And this is the correct way to deal with the text. One issue, they gather all of the text. So the ulama, they have mentioned the meaning of lahumul amnu wa hum muhtadun, that they have the guidance, that they have security and they have guidance. The reality of security and guidance is two types. There is al-aman, al-attam, al-kamil, which prohibits the entrance into the fire entirely. And there is al-mutlaq al-amn, yani the basic safety and security, meaning that he is safe from abiding in the fire forever. So there's a difference from being safe, having amn, from abiding in the fire forever and from ever entering into the fire. So those people who have complete iman and they did not mix their iman with shirk, nor with the dhulm of the serpents, nor with the dhulm of their own souls with sins, they're the ones that have an aman al-tam al-kamil. Wal-ihtida'u al-tam al-kamil. And they're the ones that went to paradise with no reckoning and without any punishment, without being entered into the hellfire. But those who have the basic iman, the general iman, but they have mixed that iman with sins, then they do not have the safety from the fire entirely, but they have safety from abiding in the fire for eternity. They have safety from abiding in the fire for eternity. They have guidance likewise, but it's not complete guidance. They have guidance onto the straight path, but through the straight path, their guidance is weak because of the sins. Because of the sins. So they're not going to be guided directly to the paradise. Rather, they will be led astray and purified in the fire if Allah wills. And then later entering the paradise. So this is the proper understanding of this ayah. أَلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَمْنُ وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. Those who believe, meaning then those who believe, وَحَدُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلُ, they single out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with tawheed and with worship, and they did not mix up their worship with dhulm, with shirk, then they have al-aman, and they have al-ihtida, they have safety, and they have guidance. Naam, they have safety, and they have guidance. Shaykh Ibn Baz, he mentioned with regards to this, he says, rahimahullah ta'ala, أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَمْنُ يعني الْأَمْنُ الْكَامِلَ وَالْهِدَايَةُ الْكَامِلَةُ إذا كان إيمانهم سليما من الظلم كله دقيقه وجليله لا شرك ولا غيره لا شرك ولا غيره ومن لم يلبس إيمانه بظلم لا بشرك ولا بشيء من المعاصي ولا بظلم العباد فهو له الأمن الكامل والهداية الكاملة. He mentioned Shaykh Ibn Baz رحمه الله تعالى, these are the ones that have safety, meaning they have complete safety and they have complete guidance. And these are the ones that their iman is safe from oppression entirely, from small and major oppression, from every type of oppression. Naam, they have no shirk, and also they have no oppression of the servants, taking their rights unlawfully. Likewise, they have no oppression from oppressing their own souls, using their body parts in a manner that is transgressing the limits. They are safe from this type of oppression. They are safe. They don't have any shirk. They don't have any sins. Likewise, in this manner, major sins. And they do not oppress the servants taking their rights, then these are the ones that have complete safety. And these are the ones that have complete guidance. These are the ones that are steadfast on the straight path. These are the ones that are upright upon istiqamah. These are the ones that enter the paradise without any reckoning. These are the ones who enter the paradise directly. These are the ones that are not punished and purified by the fire. And they're not held accountable. The ones that have the complete amen. The complete amen. And they have the complete guidance. So the guidance to the straight path, to leave off shirk and the worship of the creation, this is the general guidance. To believe in the usul al-iman, this is the general guidance. After that, a person, he has to strive to apply that in his life and to live upon the straight path, which is the application of the commandments and performing the obligations, staying away from the prohibitions and leaving off that which is disliked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, striving with his body, with his soul, to be in a manner and to live his life according to the legislation, according to the commandments and the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has come in the legislation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This one, he has complete safety. In this life and the hereafter, he's safe in this life from misguidance. He's safe in this life from innovation. He's safe in this life from sins and performing actions that are displeasing to Allah azza wa jal. And he's safe in the hereafter from the fire and the punishment and the anger of Allah azza wa jal. He's safe in the hereafter from the anger and the punishment of Allah azza wa jal. As for the one who he has tawheed, he has the fundamental of tawheed, and he believes in what is obligatory for him to believe him, he's called a Muslim. He's called a Muslim, and he died upon that. But he did not complete his iman, and he did not complete his tawheed. Rather, he had deficiency in performing obligations, or he had perpetrated and committed some of the prohibitions. Then his iman is not complete, and his tawheed is not complete, and his shahada, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, is not complete. And if that shahada is not complete, it will not protect that person entirely from the fire. And it will not protect that person entirely from the anger of Allah Azza wa Jal. If Allah did not permit this type of person, he will be under the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. فَمَنْ أَصَابَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ شَيْءٍ فَسَتَرَهُ اللَّهُ فَهُوَ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. It came in the hadith of Ubadah ibn Samit that they made the bay'ah with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to perform the obligations of Islam and to worship Allah alone with no partners. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whoever did some of these actions and Allah covered his sins, meaning that these sins were not expiated in this life, and he met Allah azza wa jalla with major sins, then he will be to Allah azza wa jalla, and his affair will be in the hands of Allah azza wa jalla. And if he wills, he will punish him, and if he wills, he will forgive him. He will forgive him. So the one who meets Allah azza wa jalla with these sins, with weak iman and weak tawheed, deficiency in his statement, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, it's weak. Then what happens? Then he's under the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he wills, he will punish him in the hellfire according to his sins, and then take him out. And if he wills, he will forgive him subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will forgive him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we see that the one who is truly upon the straight path is the one who الَّذِينَ هُمْ بِشَهَادَاتِهِمْ قَائِمُونَ. With their tawheed and with their shahada, they are establishing it. قَائِم. الشَّهَادَ قَائِمًا. Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned that some people, their shahada, the ones who are upright, his shahada qa'ima, like this, it's established, it's firm, it's upright, it's strong, it's standing high, producing fruits and benefit for that individual. Others, their shahada is leaning a little bit like this. He's got the shahada, but his shahada is a little bit weak like this. Some people, they have shahada, but his is about to fall on its side. Some people, their shahada, ashadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. This shahada, some people, their shahada is like this, lying on its side. Na'udhu billah, some people, their shahada has been completely wiped from the asl, na'udhu billah, after having the shahada established. So a person, he will be concerned about his iman, and he will be concerned about his deen, and he will be concerned about his testification of faith, and he will be concerned about his tawheed, and that sins, they cause deficiency in iman. And sins, they cause deficiency in the shahada and his testification. And sins, they bring deficiency to one's deen. To one's deen. And the sins, they are on different levels. They are on different levels. Naam, so the one who has the complete amen and the complete guidance is the one who? Aywa. He established the shahada. How does that? With his faith is strong, is established in his heart to the extent that he uses his body parts in a manner pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. He worships Allah Azza wa Jal alone with no partners. And then before he would ever oppress another Muslim taking his right from his wealth or from his honor, whether he would lie about him or deceive him or trick him. He would never do this, and he would seek refuge with Allah Azza wa Jalla from taking the money of another believer. Naam? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his adhkar in the sabah, he would say, أَعُوذُ بِكَ أَنْ أَخْتَلِفَ عَلَى نَفْسِي سُوءًا أَوْ أَجُرَّهُ إِلَى مُسْلِمٍ. Allahu Akbar. أَوْ أَجُرَّهُ إِلَى مُسْلِمٍ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the morning, every morning he would say this, Oh Allah, I seek refuge with you that أَنْ أَخْتَلِفَ عَلَى نَفْسِي سُوءًا أَيْ أَرْتَكِبْ. That I would ever perpetrate any evil or foulness, or that I would bring foulness or evil to a believer. I seek refuge with you from this. Today we have many people just lying on Muslims, deceiving Muslims. We've seen recently lying on the whole country of Muslims, a'udhu billah. Lying on their brother in the deen, lying on their brother in the sunnah, deceiving the people with regards to him, taking his right, taking his honor. And the likes like this, it's something light for them. Why is it light for them? Because their deen is light to them. Why is it light for them? Because iman in their heart is light for them. Khafif. Khafif. They say, the ulama qad raqqa deenuhu. This is a them. Shadeed. Themun shadeedun jiddan. Raqqa. And his raqqa, yani shay raqeek, is like real thin. Like this is called raqeek. You see how weak this is? Mandil hada. Some people, their deen is like this in his heart. It's there, but it just goes away. Anytime the opportunity for praise of the people or for wealth or some gain in the status, their deen go like this. Huh? He's ready to give it up for the dunya. Na'udhu billahi min dhalik. That's because of the weakness of the iman in the heart. The weakness, a person, he can be from Ahl Sunnah and his iman is weak. He can be from Ahl Sunnah, no doubt. He can be a Salafi, but his deen is weak. This is the reality. There are people who are Muslims, they will enter the hellfire. Why? Because a weakness in their deen, a weakness in their iman, a weakness in their tawheed. There can be somebody, he knows Allah Azza wa Jalla, he's above the throne in the manner befitting His Majesty. And he knows that Allah Azza wa Jalla, He has the most beautiful names and attributes. And he knows without a doubt that Allah Azza wa Jalla, He's the only one worthy of worship. But because of his desires and his whims, that he did not control them and overcome them, he fell short in that. He fell short in that. And this shortcoming can lead a person to oppressing the servants and oppressing his brothers, oppressing his family, and the likes like this. Na'udhu billah. This one, if he died upon iman, then he has the threat of Allah Azza wa Jalla. If he wills, he will punish him, and if he wills, he will forgive him. As for the one who died upon complete iman, then what does he have? He has the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he will enter him into the paradise and that he will not punish him. Afala ubashiru nas? Should I not give glad tidings to the people? Naam, this is the case. This is the case. Inshallah, we close here. We continue next week. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.